Welcome to the Love and Light Podcast,
powered by 103.9 WDKX,
with your hosts, Lovely Warren and Willie Lightfoot.
This is the Love and Light Podcast.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is episode 25 of the Love and Light Podcast, yes. Powered by 103.9 WDKX. I am Lovely Warren, and this is
Willie Lightfoot.
And we are talking about the state of, we are concluding, this is episode 6 of a 7-part series that we started at the beginning of the year. We did Black women, we did the state of Black men, we did the state of Black children, we did the state of Black mental health, we did the state of Black businesses, and today we are doing the state of the Black church.
We about to start with prayer. Father, let the words of our mouth and meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. So then you done brought the pastor out. Pastor Will today. Amen.
Bless your precious hearts, people of God.
Yes, so we are talking about the state of the Black church. Welcome to the Love and Light Podcast, powered by 103.9 WDKX. Before we get going, because I know you're excited about this topic, Pastor, we want to tell our listeners that they can download the app to listen to our podcast. They can text or call in WDKX frontline number 585-678-103.1039 and even tell us what you like about the shop. Give us new topics. You can also do the open mic feature on the app to leave us a message about the show. Now it's time for our love lifting segment, and we do this every episode. And today we are lifting up.
Yeah, we're lifting up. I wanted to talk about the Immaculate, since we're talking about the state of Black church, the Immaculate Conception St. Bridges Church here locally in Rochester, in celebrating 175 years of existence.
Yes.
Pastor Ray Flemings, big up to the Immaculate Conception St. Bridges Church. And one of the members of that church who told me that they were celebrating 175 years is someone else I want to lift up in our community, our local community here, Bing Reeves Sr.
Yes.
Now, born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida, he moved to Rochester in 1970. He was drafted in the U.S. Army in 1972. He served in the Korean War. He continues to serve in the U.S. Army until 2011. Worked for Rochester Psychiatric Center for 9 years. Then he joined the Rochester Police Department in 1979, and he retired in 2011. He is currently busy continually serving veterans in this community, my very own post, 9251 Pendleton Moyle Post. And I just want to say big up. He also does a lot of our parades. He's the voice of the parades and a lot of our veteran parades. And I just wanted to give it up. Big up for Bing C. Reeves Sr.
Yes, I want to congratulate Mr. Bing C. Reeves as well. Thank him for his service in the military and his continuous service to the city of Rochester, where we located in Rochester, New York, and also to Immaculate Conception St. Bridges Church.
Yes,
for 175 years.
Yes. That's deep. That's good. Talk about legacy. We know that church when we do in Corn Hill. It's a beautiful area, beautiful neighborhood. I know you have family in that area.
Yes.
We have the Cornhill Festival that's happening. I know they're always out doing their thing too.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's amazing. That's a great legacy.
Absolutely. A phenomenal legacy. Last show, we talked about the state of Black businesses, and we had Ramella here from the Urban League Women's.
Mrs. Ramella.
Oh, yes. Mrs. And she just got married. Want to congratulate her again. When she was talking about Black businesses, the state of Black businesses, how you can get help, the Urban League nationally is doing a lot of work around supporting Black businesses. As Black business owners ourselves, we appreciated her coming on the show and really just giving information about how to get grants, how to, you know, assist with doing a business plan, all of
support services specifically to Black women too, you know,
all those support services that are available, especially to the Rochester community. But this is something that the Urban League is doing nationally.
That's right.
And so we're thankful that we were able to bring that information as part of this seven-part series.
And we've been getting so much feedback on this that we're going to tell y'all about what's transpired as a result of all
of that.
Absolutely. But there's a lot of things that are growing and some things that we're going to be talking about later that we're doing as a result of this State of Black America, if you will, series that we've been doing.
Absolutely. And it's a lot of information, but it's also has revealed a lot about not only what we have positive going on in the community, but also our challenges and how we can overcome them. Because we can talk about the issues all day long.
Yes.
But really giving support around, okay, how do we overcome this? How do we get in touch with mental health providers? And I know Maquell Powell, he came on, did a segment as well about Black mental health. And, you know, a social
worker. And we got others.
Here.
We got others that want to come back, especially clinicians that want to come on and go take a deeper dive into the mental health piece. Because, you know, Maquell did tell us he was not really a certified clinician. But we want to have a mental health clinician specifically in regards to dealing with those real deeper dive into that as well, too. So we've had others and we'll probably bring some other folks to talk about. That's a big, huge issue in our community is mental health.
And we'll definitely talk about it when we talk about what is transpiring from, you know, just doing this State of series.
Indeed.
And today we're talking about the state of the Black church. State of the Black.
The Black church. The church.
The church.
Yeah.
And we know that the Black church is near and dear to all of our hearts. You know, it is really the foundation of the Black community in all things. Rather, we're talking about the most challenging parts of the community or, you know, just being the catalyst for the civil rights movement and all of that. Many of civil rights leaders were ministers and, you know, all of that. So we want to talk about that. I know it's a very sensitive topic to some. Many feel abused by the Black church. And it's such an important topic that we could not get off of this seven-part series without talking about the Black church. I think it's fitting for this particular topic because we all know, and if you don't know, that Willie Lightfoot, one of his many hats that he wears, is a pastor. I was born and raised in the Church of Christ, and you know, so my grandfather was an elder, my uncle's ministers, and things like that. And so, I really want us to not shy away from, you know, what's been positive, and also about some of the challenges that are in the Black church. So, as a minister. What do you see overall as the state of the Black church?
Well, that's a very, very good question. And I, as you were alluding to before, as far as the foundations of the Black church, I think we have to understand that the root of the foundation of the Black church, we have to lift up why is it first the Black church? And why is it not just being defined as just the church, right? History shows us that during the Civil War and in its wake, the Black church became the core of the community for freed African-American men and women. Enslaved men and women had not been able to gather together under any roof or the roofs of their churches and praise houses became the places where they congregated. And many in immediate aftermath of the war didn't even have homes or jobs, but they had a church, right? And the Black church blossomed into a powerful force during the Reconstruction. And the reason why I wanted to come at it from this angle, I just recently went to Washington, D.C., and I attended the African-American Museum. And this is where I took, when you go to that museum, it's like five stories, and it starts in the basement in the 1800th century. And when you look through that, it begins to tell you about the Reconstruction, how churches became centers of faith, and also the places of learning and literacy and job skills were taught after services of leaders and lay people alike. Church members, they pooled their resources together to help one another through hard times. Forming robust social safety nets. And in many ways, the early Black church resembles the early church as it is described in the Bible, in the book of Acts.
And as you hit on that, I don't want to overlook why you were in D.C., right?
That's right.
Because you were there with ministers from all across the
from
nation.
All over the state of New York.
Oh, the state of New York.
Yep.
State of New York. Okay.
Yeah, it was Gillibrand.
And it was Senator Gillibrand.
Uh-huh. She was hosting her faith-based initiative for ministers and pastors, faith community from the state of New York.
Okay, and so you joined a number of pastors from across the state of New York.
That's right.
And just for a moment, because I think that this is relevant as we talk about the Black Church, what was the, you know, what did you guys talk about there?
We talked about, first of all, this is an election year, right? And we talked about
a national election for president.
So this is a huge, that took on quite a bit of a flavor, if you will, of the meeting, because here we are, the Black people still recognize, and even in the Barnes study that I'll mention some things about in our conversation, it says people still recognize the Black pastors as some of the most influential leaders in the community.
Because they are.
Right. And
are.
So, and they still recognize them, even though, like you said, there's many challenges with the church, but they're still recognized as some of the most influential leaders. So Gillibrand understands that. Most communities, most politicians understand that. And they realize that the church plays a major role in dealing with some of these systemic issues that we have in our communities that we've been talking about over these last seven shows.
Right.
Right? That the church has a role in all of this. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about the election, voter registration. We talked about how does the church enhance the services that it provides. There's a lot of government funding. Used to be a time when church and state wanted to be separated. Now they see the value of working with churches and empowering them instead of have to use their church, their limited church money to feed the poor, to clothe those who don't have clothes, to do the some of the type of social work that they do and that we know historically the church has done.
Absolutely.
They now want to assist the churches in providing these programmings, housing, et cetera, to their members and to their community.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that just is a platform that people are now recognizing. But, you know, I know for when, you know, here in Rochester, you know, especially when I was mayor and continuing on now, we partner with the churches to bring housing, much needing new housing development to communities. And that was because of the fact that we recognized that the churches are the ones that's in the neighborhood, right?
That's right.
And many of them wanted to come outside the four walls. So if you talk about what, you know, Pastor Douglas did here in Rochester at Zion Hill, partnering, you know,
senior,
with the development, senior homes.
Affordable senior living.
Absolutely. We have, you know, on Hudson Avenue, First Genesis, that church now is in the process of working to Pastor Johnson working to develop that housing in that neighborhood. You have Elder Jeffries and a number of pastors that have joined together in the North Street area that's doing housing. And so this is in Buffalo. You have, you know, the president of city council is a pastor as well. They have done housing. And so I see the church as playing a major role in transforming and redeveloping and expanding neighborhoods across the community, because they're there, people have relationships with them, and government understands that they play a role like never before in being able to transform lives. And so as we talk about that, what do you say about people who say that the church is dead and dying and not as strong as it need to be? We just talked about two things that literally just happened, has been happening over the couple of years, but you know, this isn't the first conference that Senator Gillibrand did around faith-based initiatives.
Well, I want to kind of just complete that piece, because I agree with you, and I would say, because as you said, the church is are the community leaders. They've even gotten political. They've even gotten into these issues of housing and all of these other issues. But I believe overall, though, that the Black church is really struggling with being as relevant as it's been in the past, due to various reasons. And I believe that the culture of the world has changed over time as it relates to church. And because of that, it's created a generational gap that the church is struggling with adapting to. So when people say, oh, I believe, you know, what the church is dead, I would answer and say to that the church is alive and well. I'll repeat that. The church is alive and well. Some people in the church can or may act dead.
Come on, bro.
But the church itself is alive and well. God said, he said it in the word. He said, upon this rock, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe we see or hear of folks that are, have church hurt.
Oh.
And I think that's very misleading when people say, I got church hurt. Ah, church hurt me. The church didn't hurt you. Somebody in the church hurt you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's not categorize one person or a group of people as, you know, that's the church. That's not the design and the what the church was designed to be and is. But people, because we're dealing with the human element, people hurt people sometimes, right? And so I think overall, I would say that the church is alive and well. And if it had not been for the church, we and you can are prime examples of it. God knows where would we be if it hadn't been for our faith?
Listen,
where would most people be without their faith?
I have told Taylor all the time. I tell my daughter, I said that that there will come a point in time in life where your faith,
your faith,
all you have.
That's all you got.
You have to, you know, believe that the Lord and God has a higher understanding and a higher power for you in calling on your life. And sometimes you are standing there, you don't know whether to go left. I've been there. Don't
let me
go left. Don't know how to go right. Rather go straight ahead or to turn around and go back. But
God. You know,
but God.
Stop reaching in here, Lala.
Listen, but God. But for the
so I'm also thinking about the grace. I feel him in this place, y'all. We gonna pass the plate in a minute. Sight got the plate coming out in a minute. But I'm telling you, saints and friends and family and our listeners out there, that the church is alive and well. And I think about that footprints in the sand. Right. Mm-hmm. When that poem, it says, well, you know, hey, God, why you left me? A lot of people feel abandoned. You know, why you left me? Why weren't you there doing all these trials and tribulations? My kids, my husband, my this, my that, you know, and then he, you know, that poem says, but yeah, you see them footprints. You thought that was you.
Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Carrying you. Because I know that you couldn't walk. You couldn't walk. You couldn't crawl.
Yeah.
Listen.
You was done.
Toast. I had to carry you.
I had to carry you through that.
I had to cradle you.
That's right.
And that's literally, for those that are believers and for non-believers, understand.
Yes.
I tell people all the time, when you know that you know that you know that there is a God, there, you know, that's me.
Right.
I know that.
Amen.
And in that, I look at myself, having had that understanding and had that faith, you know. But what do you see are some of the challenges? You know what I mean? Because you and I, you know, we're believers, but there are a number of people that see challenges.
Yes, I agree. I believe that the church once again has to re-engage and regroup to understand that we are living in a different culture. The word of God hasn't changed, but people have. The days of what's happening here stays here, and don't talk about this and don't talk about that. That generation is slowly falling away. This generational X and these generational Z folks, they are more transparent and open. They have social media, they have internet, so everything is on display, right? I believe that the church has to really lean into what has made it so important and necessary in the past, and that's the love of God, the forgiveness, and the redemption, right? Then they have to be willing to address social, political, and equity issues for families and community.
Not how to preach.
Yeah, that's what the challenge is. How do we bridge the generational gap? Right. What was working for grandmama ain't gonna work for the Kia boys.
Right.
It just that's not going to attract them. Mm-hmm. That's not going to grab them. So you can't say do it the way it was always done for us. Guess what?
Change.
That's why you don't see a lot of young people in church. That's why you don't see a lot of men in church. I changed my church hours.
Really?
Just to get some more men in the church. Well, for other reasons, but I noticed when we did change the church hours for other reasons, right? To a time that was earlier, more of the men started to attend church, because church is on what? Sunday.
Right.
What else is on Sunday?
Football.
The Bills.
football.
Playing football, right? So when we're out before kickoff,
yeah,
that matters to some people. Now some people, why are you gonna change? Because you know there's a time where people didn't even let people play sports. They, church people didn't allow their children to play sports or to get in sports. But we know sports and arts are a big detractor to an alternative to the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the first way of them learning team, learning discipline, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that one of the challenges of the church is bridging the gap.
I agree. I think that, as you said, that people are in a different space.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we didn't want to talk about in church,
you're going to talk about now.
Are the things that need to be talked about.
Somebody needs to go to jail.
And they're going
to
demand that it be talked about.
That's right.
If you want us to sit here and listen, then we're going to talk about the things that, you know, we never used to talk about. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to, how does that play into my life? And how does God still love me and care about me? But yet I've gone through these things. I have experienced these things and I've experienced them at a young age. How can you say that he still is a part of my life and still wants me to be and has a plan for me and all that, when all I see is chaos
and destruction
right,
and untruths.
Yeah.
So you got to be willing to be transparent, to be open. You got to be willing to not be judgmental and condemning.
Yeah,
you know, that's what people, everything else around us is negative, a lot of negative activity. The last place I want to go and hear some negativity is at the church.
Yeah. And you know what I think that, and I look at a lot of the online pastors and all of that are coming up and have been listening. But you know what that never used to be talked about, that's being talked about now, that I think is effective,
is
people are sharing their own challenges,
stories.
Their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened to me, you know, and this is how I overcame.
That's right.
And people want to know, how did you overcome? Right. So when you look at people like Keon Henderson and Mike Todd and Sarah Jakes and
young
all of
guys.
Them, they're in yourself, you know, they're talking about, hey, listen, I'm not standing here and telling you that I'm perfect or that I haven't been through some things or I haven't experienced some things. Yes,
right.
I'm telling you, yes, I've gone through those things, but for the grace of God, these types of things will happen. So that is so powerful in making it and helping people understand how they can relate to the person that's in front of
them. That's what the word says. It says people will overcome by the word of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's the testimony of the test that we've gone to. We came, that's why I said the generational gap. We came from a generation of the baby boomers who said, don't talk about it. They took that scripture that says, God wants you to be blameless. Don't want you to have any faults. Don't want you to be without spot or blemish. So we can't act like there's nothing wrong. We got to put this facade on like we're perfect and everything is done perfectly so that we can live up to this image of perfection. But we know that that's not true because the Bible tells us it wasn't true in Revelations when they, at the end of the old book, when it says they looked in the earth, around the earth, couldn't find nobody.
Right.
That the couldn't elders begin
nobody.
To weep. Right. But God did it. Right. And so that's what we got to understand. Nobody's perfect and nobody should be put up in the pedestal that they're perfect. But we all need redemption. We all make mistakes and we all need to be able to have grace.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a license to just go and do whatever you want to do. Don't get it wrong. But at the same time, these young people, we have an opportunity. I believe some of the strengths of the church right now is that we are in a situation where the church has more opportunity now than ever before. Because people, I believe, are hurting more now than ever before. And when there's hurt, the church always is that safety net or that place where people can go and get the love that they need.
And get the healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's important because when we talk about the strengths of the church, and you just touched on it, it's being able to stand before the congregation and tell your testimony. And also tell them about how you overcame. But also one of the strengths right now in the church is being able to be that safety net for families and provide that support that they may need.
And
so there's a lot of churches out here that's doing extraordinary
things. Doing all kind of stuff.
Right?
Yes,
and
every day.
Every day.
Yep.
And so when you talk about the strengths of the church, what do you see, you know, expanded beyond that.
I think that the church has to look at these opportunities that have been presented before us, pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. We have food insecurities, housing insecurities, job insecurities, crimes, etc. These are opportunities for the church. These are opportunities for the church as the old and historical black church arose out of the Reconstruction, arose out of Jim Crow. They arose as the places of that kind of, we saw civil rights, and they begin to deal with the social and political issues and needs, especially of black people. Some would argue those needs are still very, very extremely prevalent till today. Mm-hmm. People need all of these quality of life things. So faith without works is dead. So I believe that the strength of the church is to get back to the essence of the black church, which is to provide not only the spiritual things that people need, but the natural things that people need as well, too. The food, the clothing, the housing, and those support services that I believe the church in the past has done so well.
Listen, I see churches out here doing it every mm-hmm. day, mm-hmm. and I'm thankful for what they're able to accomplish, and that they haven't, many have not lost sight of mm-hmm. why they're here and leading people towards saving their soul, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're not going to be here always. And so I think that, you know, as we keep spreading good news and mm-hmm. keep talking about what's positive and, you know, recognizing that people are suffering and people are hurt mm-hmm. and not shying away from that, the more souls will be able to be saved.
That's the where we go from here. You just said it. This is episode 25 of the Love and Light Podcast, powered by 103.9 WDKX. Listen, I know we're wrapping up, lovely, but before we get to that, I want to kind of tease a little bit of what's going on. Like, it's because of this whole series, y'all. We mm-hmm. have gotten inundated with so many people really engaging in this series that we going outside
the studio. You're going to catch us outside because the we want to hear from you. We want to be able to promote your thoughts on these seven topics. Mm-hmm. And we're not done. We have one more show mm-hmm. that we're going to be releasing on this 7-part series.
What's the next show?
And the next series or mm-hmm. the next part of the series will be the state of criminal justice, yes. where we're going to talk about gun violence, we're yes. going to talk about jail, we're going to talk yes. about all those things yes. that, you know, that people are facing and continue to face in the black community. We're not going to leave that off the topic. That's but right. but in the meantime, mm-hmm. we are going to go outside. We want to hear from you on mm-hmm. these seven important topics, mm-hmm. right?
So what that means, listening family, is that you may see us at your local barbershop, you may see us at the public market, you may see us pull up on you at the salon. We pulling up. We're going to ask you some questions. We want to hear from you. Your voice matters is a segment that's going to be on the Love and Light Podcast. And the Love and Light Podcast, we coming outside. We want to hear from you.
We're going outside the studio next. And again, the next episode is on the state of the black criminal justice system. We encourage you to dance like nobody's watching, sing like there's no one listening, live like heaven on earth, and love like you've never been hurt.
And remember, family, keep shining. You can't put a lampshade on the sun. So let your light keep shining. Be encouraged. Be blessed. May God bless you. Peace.